Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast. Keith Mitchell has won the 2019 Honda Classic. DJ is here. Tron is here. Randy is here. A lot of voicemails we're going to get through today. This has been a lot of fun to kind of go through.
Love the voicemails.
Yeah. There's get in and get out, I think, is the general theme to people that will tell you.
For sure. There's some wandering.
Get, grab, bonk.
Yes.
Precise. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Ask your question, get out. But we were going to welcome people harassing, callers harassing each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to some of that. But a lot of questions directed towards Randy, so we had to wait, make sure he got back. The big guy got back from dinner to record this podcast. So we'll get to that, but why don't you kick us off with our first question?
Yeah, first voicemail. Let's do it.
Hey guys, this is Brian from Jacksonville, Florida. I just played Royal St. Augustine today for the first time and shot a 126. So that's where I'm at mentally right now. Anyway, my question for you guys is: how disappointed were you guys that Keith Mitchell won it on 18 today? I know it's great for him being a first-time PGA Tour winner and all, but how disappointed were you that it didn't go to a playoff with Brooks and Ricky involved? Thanks, guys, and love your content. Bye.
Listen, Randy was tickled.
Yeah, so I was picking my parents up from the airport, and I was listening most of the time on shout-out SiriusXM.
Shout-out Chuck and Peg.
Yeah, my parents. And shout-out John Rollins and... who else is on Sirius? Anyway, they did a great job. So I didn't have eyes on the event. So I was a little nervous. You know, you're never quite sure what's going on in the car. And
TC's firing off GIFs, Bill Cosby GIFs left and right.
Yeah, I get to the cell phone waiting line. My phone's just exploding. My brother-in-law's texting me like, Ricky, Ricky, Ricky. I'm like, oh God, what's going on? So needless to say, I was very relieved when I learned of Keith's triumph at the 18th hole.
I don't think it's I get the question. We all were kind of rooting for a playoff, but like we're sure. Not like disappointed that Keith Mitchell won it.
He won it.
Yeah. And it doesn't really matter like for Koepka or Ricky's legacy if they would have won today. It doesn't matter to me. I would have been more entertained by a playoff.
Well,
for
no,
sure.
I think it's preferable that Brooks didn't win.
Yes, correct.
Well, you had a good take earlier, or maybe that was Randy, about cheapening legacies.
Well, yeah, it's like the Angel Cabrera.
Yeah, we said. Brooks has really tarnished his
CJ Cup
his career record. Yeah, yeah.
The CJ Cup and Phoenix Open, that's like those wins shouldn't have happened, just like the Greenbrier shouldn't have happened for Angel Cabrera.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. Nothing has tarnished a legacy more than Angel Cabrera winning the Greenbrier.
Exactly right.
Screwing up basically a perfect game.
The best career ever.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Sure.
Well, along that note, we have another voicemail.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
This is Jack Bergstrom in Lexington, Kentucky. Keith Mitchell is clearly knockoff off-brand Brooks Koepka. Does that mean that Keith Mitchell will win all of Brooks Koepka's PGA Tour wins because Brooks refuses to live under par? Thank you.
It's a great question.
Listen, it's a question everyone's going to be asking.
Do we think Brooks refuses to live under par?
I thought so until he won the CJ Cup.
I feel like he kind of embodies the live under par lifestyle.
I feel like the PGA Tour events that you win outside of like that aren't domestic don't really count towards live under par stuff.
That's fair.
That's in the bylaws for sure. That's definitely in there. I like that.
I think Brooks is a repressed live under par.
Well, I was going to say he strikes me as a big work hard, play hard guy.
Yeah.
Seems like he's somebody who would say I work hard, but I play hard.
I think
hard.
He embodies it, but he's not, he hasn't admitted it to himself.
He's deep in the Mick Ultra scene.
That's what I mean. Mick Ultra is kind of like the official beer of living under
it's
par.
It's the, what's that, like the Young the Giant song? My body tells me no.
We found out in Strap, too, that's Neil's alarm clock, which he picked because he said he hates that song.
It's rather alarming.
It makes him get up. Yeah.
I think I would have liked to say that Brooks refuses to live under par, but I can't get the video of him accepting the Player of the Year trophy out of my head with Dustin. This bad boy's coming home with me.
Yeah.
Like, he's bought in. I'm sorry.
How about the fact that Brooks, they said this on the telecast and it kind of stopped me in my tracks, that he won Player of the Year last year, missing 4 months of the season with injury.
And
he didn't play the Masters.
And didn't win a regular PGA Tour event last year.
Can I be honest? I didn't even realize that.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do we think of the new Brooks? We'll get back to Keith Mitchell here in a second. But what do we think of the new Brooks Koepka kind of just firing off takes and quotes and all this stuff?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
I feel like this is the Brooks that I was originally in love with like 4 years ago.
Exactly.
Like, truly just like did not give a fuck. And he kind of got quiet and kind of boring there for a while. And I think he looked inward.
Yeah.
He kind of was like, yeah, why doesn't anybody ask me questions? I don't get the attention. It's like, dude, you don't say anything. And now he's like, all right, well, if I want like actual attention, I've got to start saying some things.
I think I've kind of wanted to not like what he's saying and just, oh, like, yeah, he's just looking for attention. Like, no, he's actually, I agree with the stuff
he's
been
pretty thoughtful on stuff, I think. Yeah.
I think we'll kind of all
agree. Calls a spade a spade.
Everyone out there on tour like has takes and like has opinions.
Oh, of course.
Not very many people.
They're all just really repressed.
Yes. And not a lot of people are actually willing to say things and like say it out in public. So good on him. And then he kind of went back to the well on the whole like not really into golf thing this week, which I felt like he was getting away
from.
That's
a bad take.
I know. He was kind of like, he felt like he was going to walk away. And I know that there's some stuff going on in his personal life a couple years ago that he was kind of referring to and how he just didn't want to be involved in golf and kind of he was asked to expand on it and he didn't want to, which I understand that, but kind of like faking like he was going to quit golf a little bit. I don't know if that's what he meant or if that's how people took it and ran with it, but I'm so over that I'm not a golfer, I'm
an
athlete.
I think he's a little bit, you know, it's a tough week for him. NFL Combine's going on.
Yeah, missing out.
Yeah, you know, he feels like he's got some measurables and he's not delivering on them.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to be an athlete, go prove that you're an athlete.
Sure.
You know? Like Dion did, Bo Jackson.
You didn't walk onto the Florida State Seminoles football team when you were there on campus.
John Smoltz proved he was a golfer this
exactly.
week. At the Champions Tour event.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get there later.
How'd he play? I don't know.
That's a load. I don't know the answer. You're setting me up for failure. Yeah.
Shout out Marco Miro.
Like I saw it, but I didn't care enough.
I know he's out there doing it. I respect that.
Yeah, totally.
Sting, also a big hero of mine. I don't really listen to his music.
Can we go back to our boy Planet Royal St. Augustine?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Is that a real place?
I thought you guys played there. Isn't that where you guys played when we were up at Strap?
No, we played at Lost Marsh or something like that.
Oh. Yeah, some marsh.
I don't know.
126.
126. I don't know.
That's a lot of
Randy, what kind of advice you got for someone who's hanging up a 126? There's got to be some universal advice.
Get really drunk and then put the clubs away for like 3 months.
I think I'm of two minds. I think it's really cool when people say things and then they blow over really quickly and everybody realizes that it's not a big deal to say stuff.
Yes.
Unless you're Tiger or, you know, that's pretty much it. Like, everybody forgets about it immediately and it's never a big deal.
Just be you.
Just say what's on your mind. And that's what Rory has been the best at that for his whole, you know, his whole career, considering the best at it, considering his profile.
Correct.
If we could just wean Rory off the golf pass commercial.
Yeah. Like, now, unfortunately, like those takes are behind the paywall, apparently. But that's one. And then the two that like kind of I get no respect act whiffs a little bit of kind of like the Patriots, like, you know, we're the underdog. No one respects us sort of stuff.
Everybody like, counting no, us out. Yeah.
You're almost like post-respect. Like everyone like respects you so much that they just, I don't it's know. Like, they kind
no,
of
like
forget about
you
it.
Haven't even had a chance to defend the two majors that you hold right now.
Yeah.
Like, well, and it's also like, what does respect even mean in golf? It's not like you don't get into events. He's not like not getting into events or like it,
well, he was
getting
pissed,
robbed.
He was pissed always about like the, which you kind of touched on, but the, you know, I just shot 68. Nobody wants to interview me. What the hell? And to your point, it was kind of like, yeah, like, you're not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I don't know.
It's a chicken
circular.
Or the egg, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's very circular.
I don't know. With Brooks, it's a little bit like, hey, man, if you're gonna be the bad boy or whatever, just lean into that. Otherwise, like.
But nothing matters.
Yeah.
We say this every week. Like, nothing matters. What you might as well go have fun with.
Well, I was going to say, I want the overarching takeaway here to be, like, keep firing.
Yes.
Keep more of this, Brooks. It's been awesome.
For go. Sure. Maybe he's looking to be glossed Mr. Koepka, the ultimate signer.
Well, that's true. That
do you think he was
signer,
pissed that, like, he wasn't included in the original Big Four?
Or
like
the golf
or,
boys.
Like, the SB2K boys?
Possibly.
Like, anything like that. Like, that's maybe the sign. Like, maybe he was supposed to be smiley.
I think I asked JT, like, well, who's the
Maybe
hardest
Smiley
guy?
Maybe Smiley died so that Brooks can live.
Who's the hardest guy to get out of the house or get out on the course in Jupiter? And he said Brooks immediately. He's like, he's the hardest guy. Like, when he goes home, he, like, truly
he's a homebody.
I don't even touch a club.
I respect the shit out of that.
He doesn't even touch a club.
I'm here for the world of interesting Brooks.
Yeah.
That's so good for everybody involved.
But at the end of the day, I want Brooks to be interesting. I don't just want Brooks to be interesting because he's been
it has
mysterious
to be
authentic,
before. Right?
Like, all
right,
cool. Now, like, you're going to be upfront about stuff. Cool. Keep being interesting and don't just be.
I don't think I was imagining it. Like, when he came on the screen this week, I was more interested than I was at any point in the fall or anything. I was just
well
like,
said.
It's a different perspective of like, all right, now if I have kind of more of a reason to root for this guy, then I'm going to be more intrigued when he's
really, 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 really good. I mean, I think it's like him, like if everybody's playing their best, where I've kind of gotten to the point where I thought Rory was like Rory's top end was the best. I think JT is the number one player in the world now.
I think we just said it was DJ last week.
Yeah, we said it was
we?
DJ last week.
But I don't know, man.
Nothing matters. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters. See how quickly people forget. But just say whatever the hell you want.
There is a big four. It's in no particular order. JT, DJ, Brooks.
And a player
you
to
better
be
say
later.
Justin Rose. Like,
no. Oh my God. Justin Rose.
Is this just when they're on or is this like current?
No, this is
like,
this
all
is,
encompassing.
This is like top end. It's
is this
JT,
like power rankings?
JT, Brooks, DJ, and Rory. Or that like their top end is higher than anybody else's top
Justin
end.
Justin Rose has to be in that category. Like, no. Absolutely has to.
Unequivocally not.
I think I'm with you, Tron. Take it all away.
An email or a voicemail from somebody across the pond a little bit later that some people at this table are going to have to answer for. But we'll get some more calls about Justin Rose not wanting to be included on that list. Back to Keith Mitchell. Stuart Moore had tweeted this. I forgot that he was the last man out at the 2017 Web Finals. That's kind of cool to see.
That's kind of gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Things change quickly.
Yeah. Now he's a winner on the PGA Tour. He birdied 4 of the last 7 holes, including he birdied 12, 13, 15 and 18. And one thing Zinger kept hounding on, and I know Zinger's kind of had a little bit of a rough start.
I thought he was really good today.
I thought he was good today. He kept saying, like when people are nervous, you leave putts short. And you watch, like, VJ left a couple putts, like, shaky short.
I mean, VJ's different, though. Cause
right. Yeah, but he was like, Keith Mitchell is getting every single one of these putts to the hole. He's putting with confidence. And then when he needed to make a putt on the 18th green to win the tournament, he drained it. That was awesome.
He didn't lip any in either. Man.
No.
They were, like, they were buried.
And he bogeyed.
I was surprised that VJ made as many putts as he did.
Me too. Me too.
Keith Mitchell he bogeyed the first 2 holes today.
Yeah.
And then played the rest of the rest.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get vaporized there at the start. So, shout out to the course.
The course was awesome today.
It was, you know, I mean, another new greens and everything. It was proper golf. Like, you had to play to the front and actually use slopes and think a little bit. And it was fun to watch.
Well, we all looked at each other. That par 3 late on the front. I don't know if it's like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
It was playing like 233, and guys are hitting 7 iron. We're like, what the hell? And it was downwind, but you had to land it on the front. You had to roll through the swale. It was really cool. And
it's kind of beardsy a little bit.
The golf course, maybe we'll get into more about the golf course later, but I don't think I would ever want to play it. I think I would shoot 100.
We talked about it the other day. We would pay not to play it.
I think if someone said you could play it for free or you could pay $20 to not play it, I would maybe pay the $20 because I would go be like our boy and shoot 126 and just lose all my golf balls and it would be no fun. But as a tournament golf test, like, that was awesome to watch today. I thought it was super fun. You had to hit golf shots and it's just, you know, it,
you couldn't
it shows,
fake it.
Yeah. Shows the difference between tournament golf and recreational golf.
And how much more intriguing it is to have firm greens. Now, I think this is like a kind of a bad course for firm greens because you can't run up the, like, there's just water everywhere.
Well, that's true.
So there's not like you can
any
really,
front pin is just inaccessible.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to be shut down on this take a little bit, but I know we talk about how golf courses like don't have to be green and, you know, down with brown and how the tour seemingly jumps up the saturation on some of these broadcasts. I could use a little more saturation on that golf course. I don't know why, but
it's a little shiny out there.
Always comes in like weirdly brownish green, but not like dried out. But I don't know why. That's really...
I don't think green's gonna fix that golf course.
No, I don't either. But for some reason,
there's
it's
some
so
bad condos around there.
Like
that it's
super brown is actually really appealing, but that color is not appealing to me. That's it's not important, but I just need to get that off my chest.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, listen, yeah. It's a I felt like a safe place to we could do that. You ready to get into Ricky? I think you have something that'll
yeah,
kick us off there.
Let's keep moving.
Hey guys, it's Ricky from Randy's Keister. I had a good question for Large Randall. I was wondering, why do you always use big words that nobody uses in their common vocabulary? Like, it's either you have a humble brag, they're just trying to flex on us, or you're a part-time question maker for the GMAT. Either way, I don't get it, man.
There you have it.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Well, let's go to Randy for his response.
Well, first of all, was Ricky really in my keyster?
Yeah, he was. He
absolutely
15, was.
15, 17, and 18, too.
He was in the atrium or like the little waiting room or the little entrance area.
He had an appointment for sure that he showed up early for, and he was just sitting out there waiting.
He was filling out the paperwork.
Yeah.
I won't gloss it a backdoor second.
No.
But there were whiffs. Keith was at 8 the whole time.
For sure. I mean,
Ryan
Palmer
had 18
backdoor
coming up.
Wanted.
Yeah. You gotta, I mean,
there were tones.
You have to
there
give,
were oaky tones of a backdoor
you,
second.
You definitely have to give credit to Ricky today.
For sure. Listen, all the credit to Rick.
That's no fun.
No, that's
I mean,
fun.
Is that
Come
what
on,
you
be sporting about it at least.
I mean, what does PMI even mean?
He did his little dance. He wobbled early, dug himself a hole early,
and then he...
But then he was nailed.
And then he tried to fight out, ultimately, when it didn't matter.
Hey, though, what? How do you feel about the post game? He was waiting for Keith Mitchell.
He
was waiting for Keith Mitchell.
That's like first
such,
win.
Such a classic.
Yeah, that's, you know...
Maybe it was two groups.
It's cool to see a guy who's won so much. You know, he knows what that's like. It's, you know, he's passing it on a little
he's
bit.
He's won, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Five events.
Yeah. How many career runner-ups do you guys think Ricky has?
Probably not.
Seven?
Probably not many, because I feel like he either lights himself on fire or...
He has 14 career runner-ups.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
He has had a runner-up every year that he's played, every year since 2009, except for 2013.
Wow.
He's had at least one runner-up.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Ricky plays a lot of really good golf.
Yeah.
I'll say this. He is a good putter.
I never really
feel comfortable. Like,
I think he's just a really good golfer. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's good at, like, his course management irks me sometimes.
What was up with that? We mentioned the 230-yard par 3. I forget what hole that is.
It's number 7.
God, he was like 40 yards short. With
He just hit. He makes some weird swings and weird decisions sometimes. And like going back to Phoenix, it's cold and kind of rainy, and he's hitting irons off tees on 440 yard par 4.
Incredibly well.
Yeah,
too.
It's like, hey man, just do what you do. You know,
I think he did miss about a 3.5 footer at one point today on number 10, and then went for the spike mark blame. Which is
a tough one.
Well, we're going to get into rule stuff here in a second, but it's like really hard
for me to get
like on the player's side on this when they're not going to use the new rules to their advantage. It's like, all right, like if I was playing for this much money, I would know the new rules. Like,
yeah.
I know you think they suck, but you have to know how they work. Anyways, Vijay Singh, 56 years old.
That was a shot of life today.
Almost won a PGA Tour event today. I was rooting really hard for that. I couldn't picture myself. They were chanting his name on the 17th hole.
That's maybe the first time they've ever chanted VJ's name.
Time heals all wounds, guys.
I did a deep dive on VJ today, kind of just to get myself amped up. I don't know. It's like it's wild, and VJ, like, he hasn't had I guess that Shackelford tweet that was making the rounds. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Like old takes exposed. Picked it up. It was like VJ. It was. Shackelford going back and forth with Bob Estes, and Vijay hadn't had a top 10 in 4 or 5 years, and I don't think he's had one since, but Shack was basically like, yeah, like, why is he still playing the main tour and all that? And then, you know, he goes into the day, and he really, really showed well today. I mean, I thought he made some big putts. The one on the shot on, what was it, 17?
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
That was a major bummer. I'm surprised he didn't play that from the water. I mean, granted, like, yeah, obviously he had a he had a better view of it than I did. Maybe he couldn't get down to the ball, or it was too steep or something. But trying to win,
but
like,
VJ's so like, I'm so torn on the guy. Is he like, I
think he's one of the great menaces of our time.
Pretty sure he's not a good guy. Like, I'm almost 100% sure that he's not a good guy, but he's like, like you said, he's a total menace. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
No, he's, I don't know. Either way, that was, you know, it had become the forgotten man for a while, but it's really been bucking its head lately, is the lifetime exemption.
Well,
you know,
I was going to say, they're going to, like, he's going to, there was some guy they gave a lifetime free pass, an airline pass to. I forget what
Patrick
airline
Reed
did it. And they gave him like a first class free pass, and he,
George,
like,
Clooney
gamed the system, like, just like would fly to Detroit and have lunch, and like basically he like got so much out of this lifetime pass that, like, they sold it to him, but they, like, no way will he'll ever like make money off this or whatever, and he just gamed them forever,
and they'll never give another one out.
And they like waited for him to make one little technical slip up, and it was like he brought someone with him that he wasn't supposed to, blah blah, and they axed it. I feel like the PGA Tour is just waiting to take away his lifetime.
Where's
exemption.
That guy's? But would read that guy's
so
book.
So we're big fans of the process,
of course,
right? Like,
yeah,
we love, like, you know what, if we hit a bad shot, it's fine as long as our process was good,
right?
I feel like VJ may love the process more than anybody,
for sure.
Dude,
totally.
I'll never forget the 2014 Memorial. He's playing a practice round, and some dude just like comes up to, like, this dude wearing all brown just like starts talking to him from the stands and giving him swing tips. And VJ listens to every single word of it. And the guy hands him his business card, and he's like, you give me a call, I'll come out and I'll come visit you at your expense. I'll come out and I'll give you tips. And like, VJ was seriously legitimately entertaining it. I was like dumbfounded by watching the whole thing. I'm like,
but is he making fun? So, like,
was it
like
Gankin?
I was just I was reading stuff today. Like,
bro,
just,
you need
just
speed.
From, like, he's always had this chip on his shoulder from ever since the Stevie Williams calling him out for stuff on the Asian tour way back in the day. And then, you know, all the deer antler stuff and that whole lawsuit and all that. But at the end of the day, VJ's whole thing is like, I feel like he's at ease on the range hitting golf balls. He's like, when I hit a golf ball and when I control the distance and when I see it leave the face and I know I've hit it like I wanted to hit it, that's the most satisfying thing in the world. And that's like,
totally.
And that's more gratifying than even winning. Like, I want to have that feeling over and over and over again every day.
How much we think VJ's made in his career off top of your head?
All of us.
On course?
On course.
All the
just,
PGA Tour.
Just PGA Tour?
PGA every
Tour.
Dollar. All
just,
of it.
I just saw it. I was poking around.
Say, like,
so I'm staying.
$42 million?
$71 million.
Doesn't include the FedEx Cup, $10 million either.
That's including the FedEx Cup.
That's not including the FedEx
He's
Cup.
He's third all time in money. Yeah.
Yeah.
34 career wins.
He had what? He had how many wins after 40? Which I think that's the one that Tiger,
like,
20
of them or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Tiger was like, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, that's my next crusade, is to basically.
He might not get there.
That, I don't know.
He won like 9 times one year, didn't he?
2004.
2004.
Yeah. In the middle of Tiger's
9 times.
Prime.
We might never see it again. This might have been the last one, the last flash, but that was incredibly
fun. Count it out, man. I mean,
we may need to do like a VJ topic pod.
We might have to.
A deep dive.
Because I think that would be really interesting.
That's a great idea.
Because I feel like he's one of the more underappreciated players of,
totally,
our time. You
know? Let's get into some USGA stuff. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Love to.
But real quick, before we do that, it is worth noting that it is officially March, and our friends at Callaway are bringing the heat with their new limited edition Chrome Soft Shamrock Truvis golf ball. It's everything you love about the Chrome Soft ball: tour-proven distance and performance with unparalleled feel, led by Callaway's groundbreaking new graphene-infused dual soft fast core, now featuring a new St. Patrick's Day-themed Shamrock Truvis design. People were saying to us, like, why would you want green on a ball? Like, doesn't it make it harder to find? It doesn't make it any harder to find at all. Like, that's why we did the green Truvis balls when we made ours, which we're hoping to bring those back this year. But if you're Irish, maybe this is up your alley. Or if you're looking for St. Patrick's themed golf balls, check out the Truvis design from Callaway Golf. Pick up yours before they're gone. CallawayGolf.com or at your nearest golf retailer. Let's get back to the phone lines.
Hey, this is Golf and Whiskey out here in Southern California. Have to tell you guys that I think the rant by Justin Thomas this week against the USGA and the follow-up rants by other tour players is something the USGA needs to address. The rules got to change. The drops are ridiculous. Ricky made fun of it this week. It would have been great if he'd have won after making fun of it. follow that up with horrendous, horrendous rulings with this caddy lineup stuff. And finally, the pin in, pin out fiasco of slow play. We just got to deal with this stuff. So keep the good work up, guys. Hope you guys can discuss a little bit of the JT rant on the pod, and we'll listen to it later. Thanks.
He should put his kid on. I would like to hear his kid's opinion on
it. Yeah, it sounded like he was pretty. The kid was fired up in the background.
So this kind of stemmed from my FedEx Cup or FredEx Cup member. Adam Schenck was penalized 2 strokes for his caddy standing behind him as he lined up a shot in the bunker.
Solid. I think we all stand with you.
Yeah, that had to feel kind of personal.
It was bullshit.
They didn't let him know for another 24 hours
or
so.
Yeah, so PGA Tour Communications tweets it out. JT quotes retweeted with a hashtag grow the game, and
which is sick.
Yeah, somebody chimed in and said something like play, just follow the rules. And JT says, totally agree. I more so say things in hopes that the USGA starts communicating with the current players to better the game and the sport. The rules are rules. No getting past that. Just hope going forward communication is had and all golfers benefit from any changes. USGA PR Twitter account.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah. Says, hold my beer. Says, Justin, we need to talk. You've canceled every meeting we've planned with you, but we are reaching out again. We were at the first 5 events and tournaments last year, and your tour has had a seat at the table for 7 years. We'd love nothing more than to give you a seat. Call us.
I love the seat at the table metaphor, by the way. That's one of my faves. All right, so this was JT after his round today. This was tweeted by PGA Tour's Mike McAllister.
It is unfortunate. It really hurt me. It was upsetting to me because they were putting the information they put out there wasn't accurate in terms of me canceling meetings, and that doesn't make me look good. And that's just when I got a little upset, and then we had talks and communication with them because, I know those guys. I've talked to them. I've talked to them about the rules this year. We tried to communicate and try to get better relationships with them. It is what it is, and all we're looking is to better the sport and better the game.
All right, thank you.
All right.
So there you have it.
I think with the rules, it's important to separate out this one in particular with the rest of the changes, right? Like Ricky being upset about the drop thing, I think is kind of bullshit. It's like, dude, that's the rule. Like you didn't follow it.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, if you hear the philosophy behind the drop thing, I know it looks so fucking stupid, but it kind of makes sense where, all right, cool. In order to avoid 3 drops from shoulder height, we're just going to do this. And then hopefully that, eliminates 20 seconds here and there. That's fine.
But I think the issue with this rule about the caddy lineup thing is the way it was interpreted the first couple times, we're like, whoa, wait a second here. That is not kind of this. The whole thing was supposed to be about intent. All the rule changes were intent. Hao Tong Lee getting the penalty and then Denny McCarthy getting the penalty. We're like, wait, the caddy was just standing back there, not lining them up, but happened to be within the lineup.
All right, cool. We're talking about intent. There's guys out there that are... They're anchoring their putters.
Well, yeah, that's
saying they don't intend to.
Right,
but that's going to be intent. But you're going to say that a caddy is going to line a guy up out of a fucking greenside bunker?
Yeah,
right. Is that real?
So that's kind of where the biggest JT got really worked up when that happened to Denny McCarthy, and almost happened to him when he got penalized in Phoenix, or he almost got penalized in Phoenix. Then the tour just put a pause on calling penalties until there's further clarification on it. And then Adam Schenck got this penalty and riled everybody all up again. So for the most part, I'm like, guys, these are the rules now. You should understand how to drop it, where to put it, blah, blah, blah. All that I separate out from this, the way this rule continues to be interpreted. You guys agree, disagree?
No, I totally agree with that. I think a lot of this stems... A lot of it stems from the USGA just becoming an approved punching bag.
It's amazing.
Which on one hand, I feel for them a little bit because it's going to get to this point now where it's they could do nothing right. And it's just going to be a 5-year.
It's you got to burn it down.
It's just, it's going to be a 5-year hurdle that there's nothing they can do to win people back other than just wait, which on the other hand is fucking funny. And it's kind of sweet.
But they've also been asleep at the wheel on every major issue for the last 10 years.
Yes.
So they've kind of dug their grave on that. But so my big thing is with the tour, these guys did have ample opportunity to say their piece and to and whether
you say these guys, you mean the tour or the players?
No, the players. Yeah. Well, and like the, you know, like the tour is the players,
right?
Right. I think that's the thing that's being lost here is like the tour is the players. There's certain guys, you know, there's certain mechanism here that's representing the players, and I think the players are so disconnected from the game at large that they're not responding to. All right, cool. Like it's you don't like these rules, like. Say something and they don't respond to that, and then you know push comes to shove and the rules are out there and whoa, you guys never consulted us on this, and no, like we did, you guys just thought it was going to be interpreted differently because you're PGA Tour players.
That's the hard part, is I think that during the whole feedback period, like it's so hard to weigh in on something until you actually see it.
Right. It's not material. Yeah.
I think overall, like, I don't know what the rule changes have accomplished. In their defense, like, it's, again, two separate things. Like, these are the rules in place. Like, go follow them and kind of shut up. Separate thing, the rules haven't really affected anything positively, I wouldn't say.
Well, the whole thing, too, is, all right, like,
Adam's
what's the
button better.
What's the point of...
Maybe.
Like, all right, the pin, leaving the pin in, that's increased the time to play around.
I think it had a potential, again, a chance for the PGA Tour to be like, all right, we're not going to follow this.
Yeah.
Because like for us playing golf, it definitely helps us go faster. We're not we're not in the group of people that are going to be like, all right, well, I want it in, you want it out.
Right. But if we are playing a competitive round and you say, all right, cool, you want it in, you want it out, like that sort of thing, that gets cumbersome. But also like, all right, cool, like what does it matter what the rules are if you're not going to enforce them? And so... I got 2 points on that. The first one is the whole lining up thing was basically in response to the LPGA Tour.
Right.
There's been no controversy on the LPGA Tour this year with lining up.
Yeah.
Well, it's
no caddies on the PGA Tour are really lining up their players. Like I don't right. think that's been an issue ever. Like and I think we would call a guy out even if it was legal. We would call a guy out if his caddy was lining him up.
Right.
But this also is like an entirely a TV issue. So again, the top players are screwed. Like I don't think any one of these penalties has been like, oh, I was watching and you did this. It's like, no, I saw this highlight on TV.
Exactly.
I saw this clip on TV. That's a penalty. So again, it kind of targets the players that are on
TV.
But
then B, like, all right, if you're going to have the rules, if you're going to have the, like, there's totally selective enforcement. Like,
yes. Oh, without a doubt.
Pace of play. Cool, like somebody like JB Holmes or somebody, you know, there's 20 or 30 really, really slow guys out there on tour, and they knew who they are, and they're like that because they can be like that.
Yeah.
And the tour has let them be like that, and I said, like, it's like looting. Like just because they're not enforcing it doesn't mean you're not doing the wrong thing.
Schwartzel and a rules official got into it on Thursday. They got put on the clock. He's playing with Ben Crane. And you can't make out what they're saying, but he's like extremely animated and like pretty much yelling at the rules official, like basically like, look who I'm playing with. Like, well, of course, well, maybe.
But even then,
like to put us
even if
he
gets a bad time. All right, cool. You get 10 bad times. You get fined 20K.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, you know, the bad player, like or the very slow players are going to keep playing slow because they're going to make up that 20K.
Make up one shot.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it's very gutless in my opinion.
Randy, you got anything to add before we move on?
I think you guys covered it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I get so fucking fired up about this stuff.
You want to move on to, let's talk a little bit about the television coverage.
Sure, let's do it.
Hi, guys. This is John from New York. I just want to know, what is NBC thinking not showing either Ricky or Brooks' drive on 18? Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
we got more voicemails about coverage and commercials and everything than I think we got anything else, for the record. So that's why we're circling back in on it. DJ is still...
I'm still retired.
You're remaining
absent? Happily retired. I'm fishing. I'm working out every morning. You know, I'm just enjoying retirement.
Guys, are we going to start getting hate mail from the Comcast, NBC, Universal execs too?
Could be. I don't know if this is, I didn't
see
watch
Brian it. Roberts starts bucking his head.
A ton of golf until today. I'm worried about this Sunday formula. I thought Mexico Sunday was like a ton of commercials. Today felt a lot like a ton of commercials. I don't want to get the timer out. I might have to get my hitter TC back on the stopwatch counting commercials again. But it feels like there's a huge lot of commercials. And then also on top of that, we have playing through. It doesn't seem like they figured out. Like
I said earlier, they're abusing the playing.
It's completely been abused, I think. And again, consider this a warning. I don't want to get the stopwatch out, but like, that's all anybody was talking about. Like that last hour was supposed to. It was insane. We had five guys tied for the lead, and you got another voicemail for us?
Yeah, someone else weighed in on this.
Okay.
Hey, guys, this is Glades from Saratoga. Every year after the Super Bowl, I always get a kick out of what people think was the best commercial. And I'm really looking forward to seeing all the articles tomorrow as to what was the best commercial during the Honda Classic. Thank you.
It's got to be PDF like
it's
a boss.
Great question from Glades.
Glades?
Glades.
I haven't heard that name.
I like the plug-in.
Yeah.
Saratoga, too.
I yeah.
Mean, He's living under par up there at
watching the ponies.
Hope he bets the ponies.
Gosh, favorite commercial. That's a great question. PDF like a boss, I believe, was mentioned already.
I got to nominate the Rory golf pass commercial.
It's reaching a tipping point.
It's like a Hall of Fame level. Standing in the Hall of Fame level commercial.
Which one of the six different Ricky commercials is your favorite?
There are a lot of those.
But I think it kind of goes to, and we've said this when we've done heavy CBS criticism, is like we don't give enough blame to the tour on these things. And it's like they've sold, I don't know exactly how it works, but basically there's a fixed number of commercials that have to be reached in a certain period, blah, blah, blah. And man, when it gets really exciting, it sticks out even more and has no. And Eddie Pepperell tweeted us today. He's like, "I was watching American Golf. Like, he's in the States.
Yeah,
like,
Eddie's in Austin right now, and he's just like,
this is unbearable. Like, I can't believe people watch golf this way. And because he's used to like the Sky broadcast, and somebody replied like, Sky is just as bad. He goes, it's really not. So I don't know, man. It's like, God. How you can miss out on Brooks and Ricky on the final, on the 72nd hole teeing off. Like, it just is maddening. We would give CBS the same amount of shit for it, so we have to express kind of the disappointment.
It's like the whole like live under par commercials thing. We're already watching the golf. You don't have to show me a live under par commercial. That's going to make me not want to watch
the golf. Not sure what the action item is there. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to. Like, at least when they show me like a how to train your this is not me talking about the telecast. At least when they show you a how to train your dragon commercial, you're like, okay, maybe they want me to go see how to train your dragon.
That still sounds hypersexual.
But just a commercial that's just like live under par. It's like, yeah, fuck, man. Like, I don't know what that, like, what do you want? I don't know what that means. Am I supposed to go to a website?
Am
I supposed to just keep doing what I'm doing?
Well, don't you think, to touch on our last topic just a little bit, but I think this is in the same vein. I think it's an example of the powers that be in golf at large, and there are many different organizations. These people don't get the important things right. And they just are so focused on kind of the stuff that doesn't matter, like at the end of the day, right? Like, I think that's so that is a indictment by Eddie, you know, to lay that on the broadcast. We're here talking about, well, drop height and, you know, all this shit that does not matter at the end of the day for the long-term health of golf.
All right, the whole point of the whole live under par thing is to get casual fans to watch golf. If you're a casual fan and you tuned into that broadcast today, would you watch golf objectively?
Probably not. Well,
that's a tough question because the finish was so good.
It was like the commercials really, yeah, really like, drug away from that. I thought
it's like that's the best finish that you could possibly ask for, other than maybe Cat being involved.
And if you're fatigued hearing this, one, I understand. Two, but also it's like
this is your product.
The standard of what has become like somewhat acceptable. People are like, oh, stop complaining about it. It's like, listen to what we're asking for. Two of the guys that were almost in a playoff, we didn't see them play the entire last hole. The last hole.
It's like the NFL not showing first and third down on a key drive.
It'd be like not showing free throws in the last minute of an NBA game. Like, yeah. It's unbelievable that we have to ask to see the golf shots on the last hole.
And then we're the dickheads for calling it out.
Like, oh my God. And I get that people are tired of hearing about it, but like something has to change at some point, okay? I know we say it every week, but like, How did that happen today? I can understand if it was reversed, if it was Keith Mitchell and they didn't show him on 18 and he was one shot behind because he's not Ricky or Koepka. But if you're missing those two guys, how can we have faith that you're like the keeper of the takes? How can we have faith that you're giving us the best viewing product? You're not. Spoiler alert. Next question.
Next topic.
Hey, this is Sean from Nebraska. Can we talk for a second about how Wyndham rewards Clark just recklessly going for the green on 18 there and two? and just how that might affect his win and rewards standings at the end of the year. Hashtag live under par.
That's Sean kind of touching them all there.
Was it egregious?
I didn't see his comments after the round. Maybe he thought he needed to make three, and making three was more, you know, more feasible than making a two. But if he knew he needed to make a two from there, it was pretty.
Well,
egregious.
As an organization called No Laying Up,
I know that's
well,
the hard
something
part.
We should celebrate.
That's the hard part.
He got bypassed. I forget somebody said like he has legendary status. I was like, yeah, you, if you light money on fire on the 18th hole, you just are you bypass the initiation process. You're in. He also now looking back at it, I think he's playing the right game. In that he only cost himself, I think, somewhere between like $20,000 and $30,000 by bogeying that hole. And imagine how much more he would have made if he would have tied for second instead of finishing tied seventh. If he like if he eagles it.
Also, his whole game is bomb and gouge.
Yeah.
So like this is just what he does.
I love it. It was a calculated risk.
It was.
You're saying.
I'm like, dude, like it only matters in professional golf if you have really high finishes.
Well, basically. I think the thing that you hate to see is he's one of the troops.
The PXG troops, you say?
Yeah, and you know you hate to see the PXG troops making bad decisions like that.
Well, we don't know if it could have been an intelligence mistake. We don't know if he had bad intelligence.
You know, Colin Powell, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, so feeding him bad leaderboard intel.
It's hard. It's hard to say.
I don't know if he knew that. You know, Keith Mitchell had weapons of mass destruction.
He thought Keith. Yeah, he thought that there were WMDs hidden up there, and you know, it just turned out. Tough air.
Hans Week from Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
Second in strokes gained putting for the
Hans
week.
Bricks doing the scoreboard. It was a big breakout for the FedEx squad. So
Randy,
congrats to him.
Shout out Randy's squad. He's on Randy's squad. Randy's squad's finally showing signs of life.
Well, I was going to say we're out of the cellar.
I will say though that
we're into fourth place.
Nobody's going to miss that 20 or 30K more than you are.
Well, that's for
that
sure.
Could have made a big difference.
Listen. But I appreciate him going for the upside.
So you're in fourth now. Neil's in fifth.
Correct.
Okay, but you guys are still there's a massive gulf between.
No.
It's closing.
We're coming for you, bud.
All right. Sure. Well, it's a long season. All right. This is probably my favorite voicemail of the day, I would say.
Yeah, James Quinnair from England. Don't you think it's about time you boys stop calling yourself McIlroy fans? And I mean, he's had like probably the best start to the PGA Tour season. Out of, I mean, what first and straight game and pretty much everything at the moment. You boys just slagging him off. I mean, what the fuck is that? And then, like, you have an open discussion about him being dead. I mean, really? And then Spieth, I mean, your country club American kid is playing fucking shit. I mean, you're not even going for him slightly at the moment, mental. And that's Randy, your take on Bryson. That was just, what the fuck are you going about? Next thing you know, you'll be supporting entrance music on the first tee at St. Andrews. All right, yeah, I'm annoyed. Crack on. See you later.
God, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for in the voicemails.
James, can we be friends?
Yeah, James, thanks for the shot of life there.
I don't want to take it too literally here, but maybe the "is Rory dead" might be a little lost in translation.
Yeah, I think that might have been a little tongue in cheek.
But I went to bat and said that Rory McIlroy has been the best player on the PGA Tour so far this year. So I'm not slagging him off. I think he's talking to you guys. So
well, I picked him to win the Masters. I'm not slagging
fair.
Him
I
off.
I think everything was like directed at Ricky or Randy. I'm pretty
I think
sure.
I was super complimentary of Ricky of Rory. There's too many R's.
Yeah.
In our last podcast.
Who was slagging him off? Was that you, Big Randy?
I think he.
Everybody kind of hit.
Randy called him a thrower, not a pitcher.
I feel like you've been
that's
on that
block. That's a co-opted take
though.
From you. Yeah. Though. Yeah.
Don't project your takes.
He was quoting you.
I think the most interesting thing we touched on was comparing Rory's stroke gained performance to WAR in baseball or, you know, PER in basketball. You know, kind of take your pick of this all-encompassing player performance metric. And I think there's an interesting discussion to be had, and we don't need to do it now, but it'll be, you know, we'll all see how it plays out going forward. Between, it's the age-old, you know, debate between who's the most valuable player. Is it the guy, the best guy on the team that wins the most, or the guy who, you know, performs best in this all-encompassing metric? And I don't know the answer to that, but I think it is interesting. And I look forward to seeing how it plays out.
All right, so that's the ultimate cop-out right there. What do you think? Thus far on the PGA Tour season,
I think there's, I think at least over
who's
the last
the MVP
few years,
of the PGA Tour
there's
season
a concerning lack of wins in what could be big spots for Rory.
I think the other thing with Rory is...
I think Koepka has been the MVP, to answer your question.
This year? This year?
No, not... Yeah. I guess like over the last, you know, 18...
Because I think with Rory, too, we're not necessarily judging Rory against the rest of the PGA Tour. Judging Rory against what his potential is.
For sure.
Yeah. Judging Rory against not even his potential, like what he has done, like actually achieved.
But I feel that's part of being a great player in any sport.
But back to the point, though, I think it's like we were maybe a bit discounting, like having four straight top fives is a big deal. Like it's a great sign for playing this good of golf.
And yes, that's
of
really, course, really, 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 really good.
And, and for the record, we were definitely slagging Jordan Spieth. We listed all of the putts that he made and talked about how much his ball striking has decreased. So I don't know if you might be hearing what you want to hear a little bit there, James. Please don't stop sending voicemails like that.
Yeah, I'll own it. I think he kind of had us dead to rights on a couple of things.
The Bryson one, I'm with him.
Well, that's part of the fun of being a sports fan, too. And I think what this also touches on is how jaded we are in a post-Tiger world.
I agree.
You know, Tiger's greatness is still fresh in our minds. And so that's the natural benchmark for finding the next great player.
Are we in a post-Tiger world? Are you ready to say that?
Well, post-Tiger winning peak. 80 times, has screwed up what we think of
post-peak cat.
Post-peak cat, yeah.
Like somebody winning 80 times and be like, oh, that is possible, like makes us like look at somebody like Rory who's won like 14 times and be like, I mean, yeah, sure, that's cool.
So it's not as much fun to readjust kind of all of our expectations downward, because then it's like,
I guess maybe the reason that we like Rory is that he's not a sociopath, or like, the reason we really like him is he's not a sociopath. Like, he's really humble and approachable and like a real person.
Human, yeah.
But one of the things that we ding him on, too, is that he's not a sociopath.
Right, that he's not just a killer. Yeah.
What do you have to say about the Bryson stuff? Do you support music on the first tee at St. Andrews?
I didn't see this.
The
end of the call, he said.
In all honesty, no, I don't support that.
It's your boy, though.
But yeah,
I should
ride for BD.
Mention to people, Randy was accosted at the Atlanta airport.
Yeah, someone, yes, I was.
Just not accosted. I'm kidding. Friend of the show said, "Oh my god, we're walking down Terminal E. Oh my god, I just got done listening to the podcast. Randy, your takes on Bryson were a fucking disgrace." They're so terrible.
Superintendents everywhere are pissed.
Yeah, everyone's riled.
I had trouble.
They're
sleeping.
Pissed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had trouble sleeping after some of those things. Weird hill to die on for Big Randy.
I think it's been a little bit misconstrued.
Superintendents have a lot of chemicals to work with, too. They could really make your life miserable wanted to.
We don't have to relitigate the whole take.
Can we just say, part of the Rory thing, I just looked up, since the start of 2017, he's got one win and two runner-ups on tour.
Which, weird win, too.
Again, is...
You're way too living under par, though. What does he have worldwide?
Well, but my point is, against 95% of professional golfers, like, that's great, man. Like, congrats.
Yeah.
Rory's also not a European Tour member anymore.
It's just a different discussion.
That's semantics, though.
All right. Well, speaking of shitty wedge players, let's go to the next voicemail here.
What's up, guys? This is Mark calling from D.C. Been a huge fan of Noling up since day one. Appreciate the work you guys do. I just want to know when y'all are going to let Neil spread his wings a bit. Now that he's left the mothership, he's got more time to focus on his true craft, creating content. I think it's time to get him involved. Thanks, y'all.
I mean, yeah, no disagreement on this side. Randall, we just got back from – can we unveil?
If you want.
Location for season 3 of Strapped. Episode 3, season 3, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, we might have to dial in the
– It's Straps. It's each one's an app.
I think it's episodes.
I think it's just Strapped 3.
Yeah.
You know, like Ghostbusters 3.
And then they're released in incremental parts. Each episode is released. Yeah.
Well, we just got back from Louisiana.
We were in the bayou.
Deep in the bayou. Baton Rouge, New Orleans. People are going to see that, you know, in the next couple weeks here.
So, yeah, Neil spent the month.
So, Neil's all over. Sorry. Neil, we've had a lot of projects recently. I think the people are going to start seeing much more in Neil, which I think is good for everybody.
Good for everybody.
Correct.
All right.
So, yeah. We
need to get Neil, you know, learning more about golf. So I think that's important.
But Neil also does live in New York. He's going to try to spend about a week of every month down in Jacksonville and whatnot. But
he's in the New York office.
Yeah. So he's our correspondent up in New York. But yeah, there'll be plenty of Neil going forward. This is his first month full time.
Hey, guys, please be easy on him.
That's right. All right, let's move on.
Good evening, lads. This is Lawrence, formerly from London, now residing in Chicago. Love the pod.
Thanks.
bit off topic from this weekend's tournament, but I wondered what your take was on the European Tour social media approach. Probably saw the Tommy Fleetwood and the Henrik Stenson stuff recently, and just wanted to see what you think about that compared with how the US PGA Tour handle their approach to social media. So that was it. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Is this a plant?
This is
no. There's no plants. Well, there's one plant, but you'll be able to.
We've tweeted about this plenty, but I don't know how much we've really discussed on the podcast. I think we can say it very quickly. They're running circles around the PGA Tour when it comes to social media and content. So, the subtle way they do it, the restraint they show is probably the most important.
They're
part.
Golf fans.
The content committee, that was amazing, and then releasing the bloopers to that was awesome. They did that this past week. So yeah, running circles. We know this, but just kind of wanted to shout them out on the podcast as well.
Bravo.
Hey guys, this is Paul from Raleigh, North Carolina, and this is in response to that knucklehead that said that whistling, what is whistling for?
Big fan of Collins being a knucklehead, too.
Knucklehead, I love the personal shots, I think.
Yes. I thought he was dead.
All right, we're gonna cut him off. He goes on for quite some time. But we're going to cut him off there.
What song
love
was that?
Call.
Was it the Andy Griffith?
Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
I'd say call out other callers. I think that's gonna improve your chances of getting on the show. I think keeping it short, that's gonna improve your chances of getting on the show. And the whistling thing. I guess that you know it goes to another. That'll stretch.
We can
on
put
to
that
another
one to
week.
Rest now,
yeah.
I think, but that was wonderful.
All right, let's move on.
Hey, Kill House. First time, long time. Calling from South Orange. This is the wipey fade on the season-long race for the Folex Series. When I'm lonely and I'm sad at night, I usually like to think of the 2016 Open Championship presented by Her Majesty the Queen. Final round.
British Open.
The duel against the sun. I was wondering if you guys have any sort of round like that that you think of when you're, you know, sad and lonely and need to pick me up. Cheers.
Like, it's a good question.
Does he mean professional rounds or like our own personal rounds, do we think?
I think he means professional rounds.
Professional?
Yeah. It's a good question.
I don't.
Well, just because you posed that question, sometimes when I can't fall asleep, I will think back to a specific golf round and just start replaying the shots.
I did it last night.
And I feel like it's like counting sheep.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing that. Hmm. Professional rounds, I don't know. I don't mean to... This isn't an alley-oop for you, Randy. Don't get excited. But maybe it's just because I worked on this big project for the PGA Tour when I worked there. But Ricky's final round at the Players, like, I swear, I think about that one a lot.
Fucking gross.
It was awesome. It's like as cool as it gets. So if there is one, I can't say that I ever am like, God, I'm really blue. Remember that time Ricky dominated the field at the Players? Now I feel better. I don't think I'm really at that point. But that's the first one that springs to mind.
I feel... Just because it brought me so much personal joy, I think I can go through all of Mickelson's back nine at the 2004 Masters Sunday.
31.
God, you're fucking predictable.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
What happened after he won?
For me?
Yeah.
We were at a spring break in Hilton Head, and I ran out the back door of the house and jumped in this lagoon behind the...
Were there alligators in the lagoon?
Well, I was like out there splashing around a little bit, and a neighbor comes over. He's like, I would get out of that lagoon if I were you. The gators in there. I was a little... I was in a bit of a malted hop frenzy.
Sally, what's yours?
I don't know. I feel like I want to lean like towards some Masters highlight that I've seen on Golf Channel more than like an actual round. So I don't know. I've seen the Tiger win so many times, and maybe I think back to 2005 with the chip in and then the two bogeys leading in, coming in. I don't know. I don't know if that the one that like in recent years that is like I feel like I was sweating at the end of it was the 2015 U.S. Open at Chambers Bay.
That's a good
point. I felt like I was on cocaine on that back nine. Like that was as close as I'll ever get to that. It was like blacked out what happened with DJ and Spieth and all that. That's the one that like sticks out to me the most of the last like 5 years maybe. Yeah.
I'll tell you the other one. I don't know why it comes to mind is the Cabrera and Adam Scott.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Playoff.
It was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
They like both stuffed it on 18. That was a cool round.
TC, you got one?
Yeah. Well, I would say non 02 BC Open Spike McElroy division would be
Ken Duke 65.
No, the 9.
Spencer Levine at the 04 US Open.
No, but like. Yes, but I didn't see every shot because they didn't show.
Sure.
No, I would say the 97 Masters, I remember coming home from school and Tiger shot 40 on the front nine and he shot 30 on the back nine. And I can probably tell you pretty much every shot that he hit on that back nine. Like that was, and it was a Thursday and that, but that was the day that he won that tournament.
Yeah.
Like that was it.
That was the day
awesome.
He ended Faldo's career.
40-30. It was awesome.
That was it. All right, let's wrap up a few more.
Can I do one more quick shout out if you'll allow?
Sure.
Non-pro golf division, the 2016 NCAA men's match play final between Texas and Oregon in Eugene.
When Bo Hostler's shoulder was just completely out.
Or was that the next?
That was when the chef was on the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the chef was on the roof. That was – I was so invested in those five matches for no real reason. Yeah. Brought me a lot of joy.
All right, let's keep moving.
Hey, guys, what's going on? This is Jeremy in Nashville. What would you rather hear less about, the FedEx Cup standings in March or – your buddy's shot-for-shot recount of his 85 he shot at the local media this weekend? All right, thanks.
Gosh, that's a toss-up. I kind of like hearing people's round-by-round sometimes. If it's a course I know really well and can picture all the shots, I kind of enjoy
that
it.
That answers the question.
Yeah.
And if you know that guy's game.
As someone who shot 85 at their local muni yesterday, I can run you guys through every shot if you want and where it really went wrong.
Run us through that tee shot on 9.
I had to pee so bad. Have you ever had that where you had to pee so bad that like even you get to the top of your backswing, you just black out? That's what was going on. It was awful. It was the last hole of the day. We don't have to go through it. Well, just a couple things about it. I almost missed the ball. Straight up.
But literally no one cares about the FedEx Cup update. I think we all know that at this point.
Which,
but
if people saw a video of I'm just going back in my head. If people saw a video of DJ's tee shot on 9,
they would care.
Yesterday, like,
yeah.
That would be the number one trending thing on Twitter.
They would want to hear the story. Yeah, for sure.
It was horrifying.
The one thing about the FedEx Cup is we were talking with someone today who was playing at Honda, and you know, they moved up the FedEx Cup, and that's a first for players at a certain level. Using the FedEx Cup as an indicator of success is useful, and saying like, "Oh, dude, you moved up 6 spots this week. You moved up 4 spots this week. You moved up 1 spot this week." It's just a good indicator that like, okay, things are tangibly going in the right direction.
If it's the metric that matters, like,
yeah,
then it matters, and that's what you judge yourself by.
But, you know, Ricky is in the greenside bunker needing to get up and down to likely force a playoff, and now we're going to go do a FedEx Cup update? Like, that's...
It's a slap in the face.
Yeah, that I don't ride for.
And they
so
don't
hard.
And they don't show, like, Porter's tweet this week. Like, they don't show
the current standing. Like, the much more relevant information.
They don't show what the guy is in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't show you where... If you're
Or, hey, you know, if he makes par here, he stays T12. If he makes birdie, he goes to T7. If he makes bogey, he goes to T19.
I think to your point, DJ, they should take a page from the English Premier League coverage. We're cool. Show me the top 10 of the FedEx Cup. But what would also be interesting, show me, like, 120 through 140 so I can start to get a sense of guys on that 125 bubble. Yeah.
Like maybe on the back half of the year. You know, like now it's
I was going to say, I don't think that starts till Travelers.
It's not hugely relevant. Yeah. But if you're going to show me the top 10 this time of year, well, at least show me, you know, the cutoff where the relegation is.
Do you guys feel like this is, like, this year feels different?
Now we're starting to get into the thick of it.
Yeah. It's like guys are starting to grind for majors and you got some serious shit coming up.
One thing, I was doing a little bit of research for an upcoming podcast, but one thing to note, all of Tiger's Masters wins came when the Players was in March.
Oh.
His preparation.
The Plastic Masters.
He prepared for the Players more than he would prepare for a normal tour event. Not quite major, but after the Players is done, he goes back and starts his preparation for the Masters.
So he basically he played Bay Hill, and then he played Players, and then he shut it down. For 3 weeks or so.
Yeah,
wouldn't touch a club.
Yeah, so just throw a little nugget out there.
Yeah, that's a good nugget.
Well, it's also he just hasn't won a major since 2008 since they moved the Players. Crazy. But
listen, you just can make it pots.
Yeah, conditions are tough.
All right, let's keep moving.
Hey, Dennis from Kansas City calling. Is it too early to think of Lucas Glover
for Comeback Player of the Year.
Like that. Well, I don't think they do that award anymore.
They did away with that one, right?
Steve Stricker broke it by winning it twice in a row.
Yeah.
So the reason why we included this is we are going to bring back the Comeback Player of the Year, and we're going to award it at the end of the year. So anyone, people that are, can track it throughout the year, send us your candidates for Comeback Player of the Year, and we're going to award it at the end of the year.
Right, so
it doesn't
cool.
even have to be a player either. It could, yeah. be, it could be whatever.
It's like if the Birdman comes back.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So wait, how did
non-Birdman division, because he comes back.
How did Steve Stricker win...
Exactly.
Years in a row.
Exactly. He broke it.
Well, that's what everybody's been asking for years. Yeah.
He won it in 06 and 07, I think.
I think they started doing it.
Doing the Dr. Phil gift right now.
I think they started doing it almost on like a, you know, necessary basis where it was like, we're not going to give it out unless someone really deserves it, which is kind of a cool way to give it out, maybe. But
as someone who has won a most improved award in your life,
yeah,
it's insulting. Like it is insulting. It's a punch,
yeah,
in the face.
It means you sucked in the first place.
Correct. Yes.
Lucas Glover, I think you can attribute a lot of his early success this year to not being picked in the FedEx Cup draft, which I think haunts all of us.
He's got a little of that red ass.
Exactly.
Listen, I'll never forgive myself.
Yeah.
He is eligible to be subbed, however.
Yeah, that's true. There's a one ad drop coming after the Masters.
Which I think that's going to be Neil, because he's got...
Neil, if you're listening to this, which I know you don't listen to the pod, if you're listening to this, you really should pick up Lucas Glover.
Joey Garber and the boys.
Yeah, they're just not getting it done, man.
I hate myself for actually getting that right. Steve Stricker was the PGA Tour Comeback Player of the Year in 06 and in 07.
I legitimately want to know, like, how do you...
Well, he was really bad before.
But, like, who's voting on that? Like, was he just that bad?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was like he was so bad, and then he got himself back to relevancy.
Yeah.
And then from relevancy, he actually made himself good,
yeah,
and made the President's Cup team.
It was that big of a leap?
Yeah, I think so.
Where,
yeah,
they had he to was split in into two leaps?
The wilderness. Yeah.
I remember it.
He had seven top tens in 06 on sponsor exemptions. And then his renewed form continued through 07. He won his fourth PGA Tour title at the Barclays, ending an 11-year victory drought. So
FedEx Cup, you know, it's a FedEx Cup playoff event.
It was one small step for Wisconsin, one giant leap for Steve Stricker, that comeback. All right, let's keep moving.
Hey, guys. This is Dan from the Boston area. I just have to know, ZB is just pulling our leg with this whole buck club thing, right? This club's not really ever going to exist, is it? Is it just like a long con? Thanks. Bye.
The long con. Well, here, let's just play these back to back.
Hey, guys. Zach Blair here. Wanted to give you guys an update on TBC. Heard there was a skeptical caller wondering about the project up in the Boston area. And due to his concerns, we've decided to pull the plug. But in all seriousness, update on the project is, you know, still just kind of looking for that perfect place or that perfect partner to kind of get things rolling, and just going to stay patient until we find the right person. Cheers. Crack on.
Investors.
Possibly you. Yeah.
This could be you.
Well, look, we're all getting together again at Sweetens Cove for the Ringer 2 here in a couple of weeks. So I guess the update is there is no update, but the update is that we're, you know, it's moving forward. Onward.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Let's wrap it up. I think this is the last call.
Hey, guys. Arthur holding down the coach up here in Goodwood in Canada. I got a question about the insufferable topic of the rules change. What was the problem that was being solved with all these rules changes? Aren't we all kind of playing our own sort of faster version of rules anyways? Kind of drop it where you lose it. All this stuff, like, what was the point? What was the problem they're solving? Okay.
Want to give a big shout to Arthur in Goodwood. I think he's the first repeat caller.
He's the first regular.
Yeah. He was just even more despondent this week than last week, which we love.
I think it kind of goes back to Tasmania when the guy, you know, when they got Barnboogle told us to
take an Irish drop.
An Irish drop.
Yeah. Just if you hit it in the shit, I don't know, just drop it around that
spot. Snakes in the Merrim grass.
Yeah.
Arthur, your calls now go to a different voicemail box. It just goes straight to the top of the queue.
Arthur's got the VIP line.
Correct.
I couldn't sum it up better than he did. No. Honestly, that's like That's so perfectly said. Like, what are we doing? What's the point?
It goes back to my, they're either solving problems that are minor.
Yeah.
And they're solving problems that don't really exist.
Yeah. Like looking for problems to solve. Instead of focusing on the actual problems. Yeah. Well, we talked about this a lot, and I know this is a wildly unfair comparison to make, but think of how much money they spent on the rules changes, the research, the presentations, the videos, the trips to go talk to players, do it like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, right? Like, why not just go, I don't know, put that towards like tee times for youth players or just something that's going to get somebody on a golf course. Youth on course. Like, yeah.
$5 around. Yeah. Subsidize the rounds.
But like what? I don't, like, you know what? I was going to play today, but just, I didn't have that extra 20 seconds to drop it three times and then replace it ultimately when the ball moves closer to the hole.
What are we doing about your drop anyway?
I legitimately don't know what happens in a penalty area now.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what I'm looking at.
That's really cool that you called it a penalty area.
Well, you never hit it in penalty areas. Well,
that's
though.
True.
Gosh.
Strapped is trained you not to.
You know what? I want to make a PSA before we close this up.
Penalty area service announcement.
No, Randy is putting his ass off.
That's true. It's been a breakthrough.
Sean, that's cool of you to say.
His friend Hank
gave
him some advice and said, hey, you need to figure out which one of your hands is yippy. Neutralize that hand by turning it the other direction. Randy's done that. He's made more putts inside of 12 to 15 feet than I've seen him make in the last, probably 10 years, in the last 10 weeks.
I've told you guys, I think I've gone three rounds now without missing a comically short putt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, like, it's fun to play golf like that. Like, it's like, I didn't know this was possible. Like, is this how it always is for you guys?
It's cool to see you break out on the
other
side.
We'll see. I almost feel bad talking about it, though, because I don't want to jinx it. But
I think it was that $96 three-footer that you banged in the back of the cup at Tamaquana that one day.
Yeah.
So...
Your friend Hank gave you some voodoo cream, though.
Listen, my friend Hank's been, doing me solid on many fronts. So shout out to Hank.
Cool. All right. We'll wrap it at that. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for the voicemails. That has been a blast to go through. And hope you guys are enjoying listening to them. So we got a ton more callers this week than we did last week. So hopefully that keeps up. More British people call in, please. You guys have been
British Canadians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arthur, maybe call me like directly and just give me some of your thoughts on the world at large. Yeah, life.
All right, cheers.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yeah! Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?